Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Yeah, Yekka, where we cover culture, carnivore conspiracies, and Christ consciousness. Today, I have the lovely Heidi, also known as the Detox Dame. Thank you so much for coming on here today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So introduce yourself a little bit and tell people a little bit about what you do over with a Detox Dame page.
Okay, yeah. So my name's Heidi. I got started in this. I mean, like, do you want the, I'll give it like the semi-short version of it, right? So obviously, you know, those of you that know me as either Heidi Umi Ochisuki or the Detox Dame, whatever page, Detox Dame is, was kind of like a new adventure starting in August, I believe, of this year, like the end of August, early September. And that was a kind of rebranding of what I've always done, but with more of a focus. So I started in the holistic health world, technically, I guess when I was first pregnant with my first daughter, who's now 15 and a half, so 16-ish years ago. And I just knew as soon as I was pregnant with her, I was like, I'm not having her at a hospital. There's got to be another way. I didn't even know if there was another way. I mean, I was young. I was like 22, turning 23. And I just was like, okay, there's got to be something else. And I just started researching, found a natural birthing center, got into it there, started learning more things. Even before that, honestly, I guess I had started to eat cleaner and that sort of thing because I suffered from migraines. And I had found out later that I had multiple chemical sensitivity. I could not smell bleach, perfume, cologne. They didn't really have Febreze plugins and all of that back then. This was like when I was a kid and like eating certain foods. I used to think that it was greasy foods because it was like pizza, chips, anything that was greasy. But I later found out it was monosodium glutamate, MSG. And so it was a long journey even before that. And I had played around with different diets. You know, I was like more carnivore. Then I went to this Mediterranean thing. I went to vegetarian. Later on, I went to vegan, to raw vegan. And now I'm back to like paleo carnivore again. And that's been a whole journey. I'm sure we can talk about and delve into too, but that's kind of a little background of how I got into all of that. But my journey really, really didn't start holistically fully focused until I had my kiddos. And then it just like shifted from there. But yeah, that's kind of a quick background. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of other stuff in there too, but.
No, that's so cool. I love that, you know, your intuition was like, I'm not going to the hospital. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to figure it out because that's my baby. So I love how, you know, you went that route. I think so many people get easily scared, you know, because we're taught that babies are born in hospitals and that's the only way. And, you know, and it's really not the only way. So kudos to you for following your intuition on that.
That's really cool. It was strong too. It was like, it was just like, no. Like, it was not an option. Like, it was not an option. And people are like, what if there's a, I'm like, not an option. Like, it's just not happening. And I didn't know about home births, and I still wanted to have some guidance because I was a new mom. Again, I was younger. So I was like, no, I want to have a midwife, and I want to kind of have some sort of, you know, something. Now I would do, you know, I don't plan on having more kids at this time, but like, I, now I would do a home birth, and I feel very comfortable and confident with it after having the two, you know, water births at a birthing center. And I mean, it was all natural, no, nothing, whatever. And it just, yeah, I realized that there were so many things wrong with that industry too. And then somebody told me, one of my midwives, she told me to watch The Business of Being Born. And if you haven't seen that and you've had kids or you plan on having kids at some point, like, that is a phenomenal documentary to watch. Actually, oddly, like, I hope this isn't like, it's like Ricky Lake who made it, you know, old school Ricky Lake, right?
Yeah.
But, but it's cool to see that, like, someone that was so mainstream, you know, back in the day in the 90s or whatever, she was like, no, she felt the same way. She was like, I'm just not going to do it.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm definitely going to look into that. I haven't seen that one, but it sounds like it's good for sure.
Yeah, it exposes like the whole birthing industry and how it's like such a scam. And it's wild because when my daughter, when, you know, she have to do your, you know, your first checkups and all of that. And so when I went to a pediatrician, which now we do things completely differently, but when I first, you know, they're, because again, they're teens now, so we've evolved a lot over the years. But when I had my first, you know, newborn checkup, the woman had no idea what I meant. She was like, what do you mean you didn't have her in a hospital? I'm like, I had her at a birth. She's like, what'd you have her in the woods? Like, I mean, she straight up like, like she thought it was the wildest thing. I'm like, no, I mean, I would have done that. That sounds cool. But
like, yeah, I know. It's so funny how foreign it is to people to not have a baby in a hospital. It's like, hospitals were not always around from the beginning of time.
And I know that this is a really controversial statement. I hope it's okay if I like push the envelope a little bit, but I also leave room for like other perspectives and all that, because that's how we gain new perspectives, is by being open-minded enough to take on new perspectives and learn and experience different things. And like, that's another thing we can dive into, like more on like, you know, like the Christ consciousness sort of side of things and like spirituality and all of that. But you know, with, there's just a lot of perspectives that I have that like certain people really get it. And some people are like, oh my gosh, like one thing. But I told myself, I was like, hospitals is where sick people go. Like, hospitals is where you go to like do the opposite of birthing. Like, right, I don't want to have my kids in a place where you're meant to go. Like, you know, I'm like, no, like, this is a new life. Like, this is healthy. This is natural. Like, we are supposed to do this. We've been doing this since the beginning of time, whatever that was, whether you believe it was millions of years ago or 6,000 years ago or whatever. Like, I don't know. At this point, I'm kind of like, maybe multiple realities exist all at once and everybody's right and nobody's actually wrong. Like, that's kind of where I'm at with things. I'm just like, I don't know, division. Maybe that's all created.
Yeah, I mean, nobody really knows, to be honest.
No. You know, and
yeah, like, I know.
Yeah, like everybody's like belief is like, no, this is true. And I'm like, yeah, but these people think the same thing. Like, how is there not some flexibility?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, exactly. So I want to get into a little bit of the detox stuff. From your perspective, who do you think should detox? Does you think anybody should detox, or everybody needs to do it, or what do you think?
Okay, so it's interesting because one of the comments that I have gotten on videos or posts and whatnot every once in a while, right? Like, this is like troll land, will be, we have a liver and kidneys. Detoxing is a scam. You don't even need to detox. Da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, that is so great and so true pre-industrial revolution. Okay. Like, when we were hunters, gatherers, just living in, you know, off the land, how we were supposed to, and before we were adding all of these and stirring up all of these different toxins and heavy metals and so on and so forth. yeah, like our body could do what it was meant to do and designed to do naturally. This is pre-pesticides, pre-GMOs, pre-fluoride in the water, pre, you name it, all the things. Even things that we put on our hair and our skin. Our skin is our largest organ, and, you know, maybe people, there's different plateaus, and that's why I don't judge anybody where they're at. I put my defenses up, like, if it comes at you, you know, you're like, hold on a second. But there's different plateaus, and we all have different learning curves that we have to go. Like, I know I went on those for sure. And, you know, like, you go through this phase where, like, you're like, okay, I'm looking at what I'm eating. I'm looking at this. Okay, now I'm looking at what's in my water. Now I'm looking at what am I spraying on myself or putting on my skin, or what am I washing my hair with? What am I, like, there's so many ways that we are taking on chemicals now, and I know chemicals, you're not supposed to say chemicals because there's good chemicals, but like toxins, we're taking all of those on, and that is connected to even all the parasite side of things and the viral load and whether viruses are actually a thing or not, or it's, there's a lot here. There's a lot of different things there. So I do believe that, yes, now, unless you are living in one of the, you know, rare, more pristine areas of the world where your food is not adulterated, you actually have clear water, you actually have clear skies, you know, there's all of that, like, then yeah, if you're not living in those conditions, then I do believe that you should be detoxing, because our bodies were not meant to take on this much of a load.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. Especially if you've never done any detoxing your entire life and you've lived in some place like America, I agree. You're definitely going to be overloaded. Can you go into a little more detail? Because I actually didn't know about this connection of the heavy metals with the parasites until I started looking through your stuff. And so can you go a little bit more into that?
Yeah, for sure. So parasites, I've got a ever-growing perspective on this. So I don't claim to be an expert first and foremost. I am learning, and I like to share what I learn with people. So with that being said, right now, where I'm at in my learning journey is realizing that these things are all connected, and you will hear different perspectives on different side of things. And one of them is, parasites provide a symbiotic relationship. They're meant to be there. It's all part of our like inner and outer ecosystem and so on and so forth. But again, what I'm doing, like the research that I've seen and the more I dive into this, there is truth in that. But again, before the Industrial Revolution, before our world was very toxic. So yes, there are pesticides. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, that's it now. But then, before pesticides and all that, especially, there's parasites on pretty much anything and everything, right? Like, so when you were foraging, if you're, you know, harvesting and you maybe like pick a strawberry or you just pick whatever it is that you're eating, could be a parasite or parasitic eggs on that produce. So like we were talking about, even with, you know, veganism or carnivore, you know, like there's this thing that I've been trying to break, which is just like, oh, parasites only come from raw pork and seafood. And it's like, no, they are in other things too. They are on our produce as well. Like I have I do living water. So I have a Kangen, and I will rinse my produce, even organic produce, which is not truly organic because of what's being sprayed in the skies and all these other things. And a peel now, like organic apples get a peel, like that, it's just beyond me. But so when I rinse my like produce, when I soak my produce in like the 2.5 more acidic water, that removes, you know, any kind of, you know, bacteria, pesticide, or parasites, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why I keep switching that word up. That's really weird. But then the 11.5, I'll soak into that, and that'll pull off any pesticide residue, anything that's oil-based, really. But you will see them. You'll see little worms and stuff, and it's like organic strawberries or whatever. So back in the day when we would eat those and take those in, if there was any type of toxin, heavy metal, because our you know, there's clays, there's certain things that we do use to detox with. Sorry, I don't want to. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Sorry, I had a cough.
You know, it's funny because there's this weird thing with these earthen minerals that we use to detox metals, but also some of them have metal, you know, contaminants in it as well. But anything that we would have been exposed to, the parasites would actually go in, clean that up. And once it was cleaned up, once they got everything out of your body, they would actually, you would evacuate them naturally because there's nothing to keep them there. So when you hear people say like, no, you're supposed to have the symbiotic relationship with parasites. Okay, yes, but we're talking originally what the regular old blueprint should have been. So now, again, with the higher toxic load, and it's in everything. I mean, silverware isn't even silver now. It's in cutlery. It's in these things. It's in pharmaceuticals. It's in ivermectin and fenbend. Sorry to break it to you guys, but this is my big thing, and this is where I push the envelope a little bit. Because it's still a pharmaceutical, it still has artificial flavors, it still has additives and toxins. I see your cat.
Oh yeah.
I know, mine was like coming up here earlier too. That was my favorite part of your intro, by the way, the cat sitting there at the
Oh, I know. That's actually why I popped off the screen. I had to go let her in. She was at the front door waiting to come in.
I wondered, yeah. I had my daughters, like, I was like, all right, if the cats come scratch at my door, just let them in or out. But yeah, I mean, hopefully that makes a little bit of sense, like, you know, because we have so many more toxins now. So what they're doing is they're like, we have more work to do. We got more stuff to clean up. And there's, unless you're detoxing, this is why I say like getting the heavy metals, the pesticides, all of the positively charged toxins. So in this case, positive is not necessarily a good thing. Positively charged things are not what you want to have, you know, in your body. You want the negatively charged. The earth is naturally negatively charged. That's why earthing and grounding is really good for that. But you remove that and you remove food sources, you remove what they can hide from the immune system from. There's just this deeper dive with that connection there. And then that goes into mold and everything too. Like mold in and of itself, and some people get really offended by this, especially if they have mold and like mold illness. And I've been there. I was on bed rest for a year and a half. It's part of why I do what I'm doing, because I learned so much through that time. And I had mold in like two places. It was really toxic. It is not the mold in and of itself. When you go out into the forest, those same mold spores are there, but you don't get sick. You don't feel it. It doesn't affect you the same way. Seasonal allergies, whatever, that's one thing. But there's not really that, you're being exposed to those things. What happens is mold is now eating the toxic paint, construction stuff, all of that. It gets behind the walls. It's eating all of these artificial toxic things. Then it goes back out there and you're getting more of like the toxins than it is that's actually the mold in and of itself. So it's kind of the same thing. Like the parasites aren't necessarily the problem in and of themselves, but they can be. They can become that, especially now with things that open up our blood-brain barrier, polysorbate 80, things that are in these. There's things that are opening up the blood-brain barrier in a not good way and allowing neurotoxins and different toxins to go up into the brain. And now you have this neurotoxic, you know, situation. Well, guess what? Parasites want to go where the toxins are. There are so many videos of people thinking they needed to have, you know, brain surgery because they had like a tumor or they had something like that. And they're finding all it was tapeworm eggs.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. And that wasn't a problem before. Like that's the, you know, and it's just one of those things. So they migrate through the body. So that's why, you know, when I hear people like, oh, you know, I took this dewormer and all of this stuff came out. I'm like, yeah, but you're not touching the root cause. Like, it's great. You did X, Y, and Z and this shifted for you and you got better in this way or that way. But there's people that are seeing that cycle come back now because they never handled the root cause. They actually contributed more to the root cause. It's still a band-aid. And I don't know. It's my opinion.
Gotcha. No, interesting. That you said a lot of good stuff that like I was thinking of saying, and then you just said it. So I was like, okay, I'll just
reviving. Really,
this is perfect. But no, I do want to go back because this is something I wrote down that I wanted to go over about, like how a lot of people don't realize that parasites are on produce. Like, you know, we're taught growing up, oh, it's on chicken. You know, don't touch the chicken, the raw chicken. You'll get salmonella. Or, you know, make sure you cook the pork well done. And then, you know, like since I started carnivore in 2017, and I did that for like 3.5 years. And ever since then, like I've seen so many cases of where like lettuce has, you know, some sort of crazy bacteria, and you're like, what? Like lettuce,
listeria,
like,
and everything.
Listeria, yeah, yeah. And I've seen all this other produce pop up with, you know, bacteria, viruses, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff on there that we're not told that that's a common thing, but it is. Like, it's just, like you said, parasites are everywhere. Like they're unavoidable. And I'll even jump to like how a lot of people hate cats because of parasites. And it's like, and it goes back to also, you know, what you were saying, like, it's not the parasites that are the problem. They can become the problem, but you know, if you have a strong, healthy immune system, you know, you're not going to need to be constantly detoxing every single day, you know, for the rest of your life. Like, it's just, you know, you have to have, and that's what I tell my friends and just people in general all the time when they give me crap when I post pictures about my cats and all that stuff. And I'm just like, look, if you have a strong immune system and you're detoxing regularly, it's not a problem. Like it's totally not a problem. Like our bodies are supposed to be made to handle parasites, but not an overload of them. Exactly. You know, so, so I really like that you cleared that up also, because it's so true. And it's like, people want to pick one side, but kind of it's, you know, it might be a little bit of both sides in certain situations. And so, you know,
I started taking notes. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many things I want to like, cause I'm like, I don't want to forget. I'm like, okay, wait, this.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's it. I'm like, no, we are so on the same page with this. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, I'm writing extra notes also. but yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish. Cause I'll go on a tangent.
It's okay. It's okay. You can go ahead.
Well, it's interesting. Like, two thoughts there, like just on the cat thing. Like, okay, cat lady, totally proud of it, not a problem. One thing we can also talk, like, I have all my cat tattoos and stuff, and yes, I know, call me a hypocrite, but I have tattoos and I'm a detox. We'll discuss that if we need to, but like, anyway, so yes, cats, first and foremost, cats are not actually the carriers of that parasite. It's rats. So rats, if they're exposed to rats, mm-hmm. that's when they get it. So like, if we want to blame anybody, we should really be blaming the rats for this instead of the cats. If you have an indoor cat or they're not exposed to that, like, now, can animals still come in contact with parasites just like we can? Yes. But it's so funny when you say the cat thing, because I'm like, you let your dog eat poop, lick its own butt, and then lick off your ice cream cone, and then you lick your face, and then you think you don't have parasites from your dog too? Like, this is not right. A cat problem. Birds have parasites. Like fish have parasites. Like, every living being has them. And it's, you know, and then people are like, oh, well, cats walk in the litter box. I'm like, cats also self-clean. Your dog walked in poo outside and also probably ate it. It's like, let's just be real here. But it is funny because, you know, what is it? The Toxoplasma gondii is that main cat parasite. And that's like the crazy cat lady parasite, you know. And but you know what? There's solutions for all of it. You detox your cat. The zeolite that I use, it is a pure clonopthalate zeolite. I do not use synthetics. I won't use it if it's in plastic. I won't use it if it has preservatives. And I won't use it if it's micronized powder, because it just doesn't do the same thing. It doesn't get in deep enough. And it's, you know, just so on and so forth. It has to be like pure, because there's a lot of synthetics out there. But you can give that to the animals. So I give that to my cats. You know, I do give them diatomaceous earth too. I don't take diatomaceous earth necessarily because I don't feel like I need to. because I do take the PBX, but I switch it up with the cats. I'll switch it up with them. And then I also have a cat or dog wormwood like tincture on my website too, so that you can keep detoxing them, because we don't want to give them the toxic dewormers either. Like they don't need that extra. It's you're feeding the toxins, you know, and you're feeding the root cause still. So yeah, I like to look at detoxing that. And then, like, weird random side note, when you're talking about, you know, parasites being on produce too, and the bacteria and viruses and all of that, one thing that people don't, that I think the general population doesn't know, I think this is getting out more and more, is that the way that genetically modified foods work is you're actually taking the DNA strands and you have to break that code to rewrite it however you want to write it and put whatever you want to put in there. There's only, as far as I know, and there may be more, I'm sure there's advancements all the time and whatnot, but the way typically that you would break a DNA chain to genetically modify it is to use bacteria and virus. So it's integrated in with the genetically modified foods too. So, and then there's cross-pollination. There's like, it is, you know, I don't want to say that like there's nothing pure anymore, but I mean, even if you have a full heirloom seed garden, there's no GMO farms or anywhere around and everything's good. Like, you still, unless you live in like Tennessee or New Hampshire, where they just banned stratospheric aerosol injection, geoengineering, all that stuff, right? It's, those are the real words. If you want to do the deep research on it, stop looking at the sea trails word. Like, look up stratospheric aerosol injection and you will find patents. You'll see that it's real. If Tennessee and New Hampshire, and I believe there's one other state, but I forget which one. And there's a few other in the lineup that are about to pass a bill to ban it. So how do you ban something that doesn't exist? Like, so that's really good, because then that's not being bombarded on our produce either. So.
Yeah, for sure. That bioengineered stuff is so scary too. And I know I started noticing that label on foods like 2, maybe even 3 years ago, where it's like contains bioengineered food ingredient. And the first thing I noticed it on was cheese. Like, because I don't go to the produce aisle that often. So I was looking at the cheese, like the deli cut cheeses, and it says contains a bioengineered food ingredient. And I was just like, what is even, I was like, this is just supposed to be milk, like, and salt. Like, what is bioengineered? Like, I think it might be the rennet that might be bioengineered that's in the cheeses. But, you know, it's just like so crazy. Something that you think is like cheese, it's kind of supposed to be more of a whole food kind of item. And it's still susceptible to having bioengineered ingredients. And so I've been seeing it. Sometimes I'll just pick up food on the aisles that I would never eat, but I'm just like, I want to see if it has bioengineered food ingredients in there. And it's so scary. Even like you mentioned earlier, the appeal, that's something I've brought up so many times on my show. Like, it's so scary because there's no studies on it and there's no information on it. And it's on the organic produce. And, you know, like you said earlier, like none of the organic produce is not organic. Like, you know, you said you wash off and you see all this disgusting stuff on something that's supposed to be like the cleaner, and it's definitely the more expensive option too, you know? So it's like, you're still paying for all that crap that's on there that's not supposed to be on there. And, you know, and I think it's so funny because when you get an organic apple from the grocery store versus an organic apple from the farmer's market, one of them is going to last you like 3 months on the shelf.
And they like rot from the inside, like avocados and everything too. You can tell like they like rot from, they'll look fine on the outside and they like rot from the inside. It's like, okay, cool. So you put this protective coating around it. And what's wild is there's a website, I think it's called Time Machine. There's a couple of websites where you can go back and see what a website was at one point before they took certain things down. I know I started, I found that out when I was doing like TikTok stuff on the OceanGate situation like last year, and people were using the Time Machine website to go back and read what the, what do you call it? Like the safety waiver that you sign for it. Cause they pulled everything as soon as that thing sank or whatever. Like, I have my own opinions on that, but once whatever happened with that, they like took their website down, but you could go back and read it. And it was so wild, the stuff on there, but you can go to this Time Machine website. And I want to do that with the appeal website, because I know I saw a video on there explaining how they use genetic engineering or bioengineering, which I'm glad you said that term too, because it's all kind of one and the same, but they changed it to bioengineering the last couple of years because they thought it sounded a little more
natural. More green.
Yeah, yeah. Bioengineering instead of genetically modified, right?
Yeah.
Or genetic engineering. And like, but they had a video literally showing how they genetically engineered it or bioengineered it. And then once word got out and once we all started finding out what appeal was and how it was, and they took it down. So I'm going to go on that website and find that video, because like I've told so many, I'm like, I swear there's this video. And it's got to the point where I started going, I don't know, maybe I made that up in my head. Like maybe I thought I saw it, but I swear I remember seeing it, because it was like a whole, you know, it was like a science-y video breaking down, like, how do we actually do this?
It's, yeah. Yeah. If you find it, let me know. Send it to me. I want to check that out too.
I will. I wrote it down. I was like, all right, finally got to put that on my list.
So can you explain the difference? Because I know one of the supplements you recommend is a form of zeolite clay, right? So can you kind of explain a little bit of the difference, like why zeolite clay is more, it works better than like bentonite clay?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one thing that there's just a lot of studies on it. There's a lot of information on it. When you go to like PubMed, you can find so many different things on it. With, and again, like not all zeolites are created equal. They are not all the same. A lot of them are synthetic or they're powdered. And people think because they're micronized that it's a small enough size to do what it needs to do, but not necessarily. And if zeolite collects positively charged toxins, like microplastics, and it's sitting in like a plastic tub, then it's kind of art, you know what I mean? It's like, I view it anyway, but I'm like super purist about this stuff. With bentonite clay, it's great. I do like it, but again, it goes down to particle size. It's one, it's not small enough. Two, it's usually in a plastic tub, unless you get a glass jar. When it's in a liquid form, it's able to be small enough. So like the zeolite is, there's two different ones. I have them here behind my computer. So the spray is small enough to where it's actually in a water molecule. So when you spray it, it goes sublingually into the body. It can go into all the capillaries. It can go right into the cell wall because it is in a water molecule. So the cell just will accept it. One thing with this that bentonite clay doesn't do also, and again, we're talking like it's on another level, just like cellularly, like truly, is when it takes a positively charged toxin out, it actually leaves a negatively charged mineral. Like, so it will leave the mineral as it takes out the toxin. So bentonite clay is good. I do think it's really great. I mean, I have a good clay on my website too. I more think of that as like an external thing because it just is thicker. This is the part two, right? So you hear like PBX, which means pure body extra. People are like, what's PBX? It sounds like a workout, you know, it's pure body extra. And then PB, which everybody calls peanut butter. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it kind of looks more like peanut butter. This is clear. This one is, oh wait, this one actually isn't my pure body. This one is. I use props, but you can see like, it's like a thicker, like, clay, you know, it looks more like a clay, mm-hmm. right? So that's what that one is going to be more like. And that is a larger polyparticle that will actually go in and clear out the gut and be more of a binder. So bentonite clay, I think, works great as a binder. I think it does have some detoxification aspects. Activated charcoal, people like really get going on the activated charcoal thing sometimes. Activated charcoal, in my opinion, is used for emergency use only. You can use it in conjunction with this if you're just starting to detox and you really feel like you need a super extra binder and maybe you are coming off of some kind of, you know, really toxic medication or whatever, right? It's like a quick bind. But now there's controversy on whether it actually does deplete minerals or not too. But all I will say is when I did my, I went through my, like, let me take activated charcoal and lemon water in the morning thing, right? I did not feel good on it. I felt depleted. So I think it's also just like a personal thing. Like, how does your body respond to it? How does, because that's the thing that we don't look at too. And I could go off on tangents, so I have to like redirect myself. But with Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, like, we're not all the same. We all have individualized constitutions. We all have individual aspects and individual imbalances that are going on. So for someone like me, that's very Vata in nature. Like, I'm thinner. I think fast. I talk fast. My hair is wired. I'm like classic Vata. I don't do well on anything that could be depleting. So when you do these studies, they're not looking at those individual aspects. They're just like, we took 45 people and this many did this. And I'm like, okay, well, how many of those people were Vata? How many of these people were Pitta? And how many were Kapha? Like, what are their different body constitutions? Let's do a study on that and see how that, you know, it's just like a deeper look, a deeper variable. And that is where we go into deeper science instead of just like some blanket thing and some blanket scientism kind of thing. And like, no, let's go back to how is the scientific method work? Like, we have variables. We need to look at all of the variables. So anyway, to answer your question, like that, I have done clay. I've done a really good bentonite clay. And I didn't have the same type of detox that I've had with this, that I've experienced with it. So.
Yeah. I like to have the charcoal, like, for in case of emergencies, like if I have like food poisoning or I think I have food poisoning, that's basically like the main thing. Like, if I have some sort of stomach issue, I'm like, I'm going to take some charcoal and I'm fine the next morning. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Or like you accidentally, like, I don't eat at restaurants anymore. There's like two restaurants I eat at, or like if it's like an acai bowl place or something clean, but I don't really do a lot of cold and I don't do a lot of like produce, like you were saying. Like, I'm more in the, more on the carnivore kind of spectrum now. But, you know, when I was first realizing these sensitivities and, you know, chemicals and all of that stuff, I remember being like 20 and eating at a Japanese restaurant after I went to Japan, coming back here and eating a bowl of miso and realizing it's not the same miso that's there. It was like MSG filled. And I took one sip of it and I felt awful. And I was like, all right, activated charcoal, let's go. Like, you know, there's a reason why, like, that's what they use if somebody overdoses and they go to the hospital. That's what they use, is activated charcoal. It's very, very strong. It will detox you very quickly, but it's emergency detox. It's not, I don't believe it should be something that you use daily or regularly. Even brushing your teeth, like, I know that became like a popular thing to put in toothpaste maybe every once in a while, but it's really abrasive. I mean, baking soda will do the job, and it's not going to be as abrasive to your enamel, but I digress.
That's interesting.
I go on tangents, I really do. Like, so feel free to like redirect me or cut me.
It's all good. It's making my job easy over here. So no no complaints over here. I did want to talk, since we talked a little bit about the food side of things. You said you started out with carnivore first and then kind of went through all the things and then kind of circled back to carnivore. Is that what you're saying? Or like,
yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't technically carnivore. I mean, I kind of just, like, when we were kids, right, we kind of ate whatever we ate, right? So I went from having meat in my diet, it's probably a better way for me to word it, like, and then I went through my, like, I want to be a zoologist phase, and then I was like, I'm not going to eat animals, and I, no way, and all of that, and I went through a vegetarian phase when I was somewhere between 12 and 13 for about a year or so. And during that time, obviously, like, we're starting our cycles and all of that. And again, I was very Vata. Vatas are not supposed to be like raw, vegan, whatever. Like, we're not supposed to be on that spectrum. And there is a lot of crossover between Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, and like the eat for your blood type aspect too. So I'm O negative. I'm not supposed to be, like, I'm supposed to have meat in my diet. And so I started, when I started getting my cycle and all that, I started craving like red meat. And at the time, you know, we didn't know any better back then. I didn't, you know, I just was like, oh my gosh, like I wanted a junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's. Cause that's, you know, like we were in the fast food phase of things. Right. Like, and this is what I mean. Like there's plateaus of stuff. Like as a kid, I remember telling my, you know, my mom, like, I don't want to eat this stuff. I want to eat something different. And anyway, so I ate that and I got so sick. My body was not used to it. It was trash food to begin with. Like it was just not the right way to go about it. But I started really like, you know, I was like filet mignon everything. Like I just wanted steaks. I started eating steaks at home. And that was like all through my teenage years. But again, I was still kind of a random, I didn't eat McDonald's or anything like that. Like I hated McDonald's. Like I didn't want anything to do with that. I didn't eat any fast food except for like, you know, your 17-year-old Taco Bell phase, right? Like I think a lot of us went through that. And I remember sitting there with my friends and going, I don't want to eat this anymore. I don't feel good. I had a Mountain Dew. I was like, this is awful. I don't feel hydrated. What am I putting in my body? Like, I just like had that awareness of like, what's this green? What is this? Like, this is going through my body. Like when I look at the inside of my mouth, I imagine that most of the rest of my body looks like what the inside of my mouth does. Like what's happening there? Like when that touches that all the way through and like, I don't feel good after, something isn't right there. And so I started cutting out, I cut out sugar. I cut out like most, I cut out soda. And then I cut out all fast food stuff. I never had a soda. I've not had a soda since I was 17. I've had kombuchas, but that's as close as that gets to that. But then, you know, I went through my pregnancies and I had my different things with that. And then I started getting migraines, and I went through a phase of having chronic migraine. And at the time, this is odd, this is like a weird series of things, but at the time, that's when I live in Florida, so we have Publix, and Publix has like a Greenwise section, which is like their like organic like brand. And so I started finding the boxes of mixed greens, and I would just crave that when I had a migraine, and I didn't understand why, but it was organic. There was no additives. Like, I mean, I still wasn't eating. I still was learning. Like I still didn't know what I was doing really. And my neurologist like laughed at me and he was like, here's some more Imitrex. Just, you know, just take this and like, whatever. And I was like, no, there's something to this. Like what I put in my body, there's something to this. So I started working at a local raw food, super food place. And she was like, let's help you out. Right. I will say the raw superfood thing was a really good temporary detox. Like all the crap I had ever eaten in my life, like all of the migraine stuff, the inflammation, all of that. Like it was my first real step towards not eating processed food, right? Like, and that's what I think is the real root of all of this. And I've said this on my lives and my videos and whatever, is like, we need to stop this like war between the like vegans and the paleo and the this and the carnivore and the raw foodies and the fruitarian. I'm like, look, if it's working for you, it works for you. As long as you're not eating processed foods and you listen to your body and you try to eat seasonally and you try to eat for your dosha or your constitution, then freaking more power to you. But stay away from the processed stuff. That's the real problem. Like, I wish that we would more like come together in a sense, because we have a common enemy. Like, that we really do. Like, you know, it's the food industry, it's the pharmaceutical industry. Like I just posted a video this morning on how McDonald's has contracts with hospitals. Like that's wild. That is wild. Like, so it's processed food that's the problem. And that was my first real go at that. I'm grateful that I went through that. I learned how to make all these really cool desserts and all this stuff. Like I became like a raw food chef and blah, 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 all these things. And then after about a year, I started going, no, it was about like a little under a year, I started going, I feel malnourished. And I'm eating so many superfoods. I'm eating as clean as I possibly could. I mean, it was goji berry this. And I mean, you know what I mean? All of the superfood, like chlorella and spirulina, all the things. And I'm supplementing and I'm like, oh, but I'm getting my iron and I'm getting my B12 and I'm getting my blah, blah, blah. And I just didn't feel right. So I was like, well, I work at a raw food place, I'll just add in raw cheese. So I started adding in like raw goat cheese and that kind of thing. And I started to feel a little better. And then I went through, I basically just depleted myself so much. I got very, very sick. I was on bed rest for a year and a half. My body was too deficient. And my acupuncturist, she was like, you need to stop eating smoothies and cold raw foods. She's like, you are depleting yourself. Your spleen is angry at you. That's why you're having two periods. If you have spleen qi deficiency, you tend to have more bleeding issues. So I was having double periods. I essentially being a raw vegan or whatever for however long, I got sick from it. And so, and there were other aspects too. Like I had other issues that my body was trying to battle. Like I had the mold in the house. I had a parasite infection that I didn't know about. I mean, I've had 2 1.5-foot tapeworms and 1 2-foot tapeworm come out after that time period. It was wild. So there's other aspects of it. I think that there's a time and a place for it. I think for short term, whatever, but then we're also looking at things like oxalates and all, you know what I mean? I'm sure you've done this as a carnivore. Like there's so many other things. We have anti-nutrients in produce because that's how they defend themselves in nature so that bugs and everything don't eat them. Like they're there for a reason, like something's supposed to eat them. And there's a lot of truly vegetarian animals out there. And there's just a lot to it. There's part of me that like, do I want to eat? And I wish there was another way because you know what I mean? Like I do have that part of me that's like, I'm an animal lover. And I'm like, Wes, I'll go to a farm and see a cow and I'll totally connect with it. And I'm like, man, you could be my other pet. You could hang with my cats. And then I'm like, there's an internal struggle there, but my body does well with it. So all I can do is go back to my like Native American ancestry or something and just go, I'm connecting with this. I honor it. I'm grateful for it and really have that and try not to, you know, just try to eat meat that is locally sourced. That isn't just factory farm, you know, ground beef. It's like how many hundreds of animals are in that, you know, like I try to, and if I do buy from like a company, I try to use like the ancestral blend companies mm-hmm. and stuff where they actually use the heart and the liver and the kid, they use more of the animal. And it's just, I feel like the energy of it feels different. So I feel like it's just, it's not like a huge factory farm, you know?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Like those companies that are doing that, like primal blend with the organ meats are definitely the kind of people that care more about like the regenerative processing of the beef and things like that. And I think it's a big key kind of is because like how you're saying how we're so divided with like the vegans against the carnivores and all this and that. But it's just, I think it's funny because a lot of us have the same beliefs. A lot of us don't support confined animal farm lot, you know, feedlots. A lot of us don't support the corporate conglomerates that are trying to force feed us artificial flavorings and colorings. A lot of us are against all like the same things, you know, and it's just so crazy to see like, that's how messed up things are in the world is that like, there's several groups of people that all have similar beliefs, but there's one little difference and they're just like, makes everybody against each other. And it's like, if we could literally just all team up together, we could probably do something about it. But
I'm working on a project right now and I can't like talk too much about it, but you know, it's like a project, individual community-based project funding thing. So like, we can talk about that at some point. And that's what a lot of people are actually doing. So I'm really tired of this doom and gloom, like, oh, Bill Gates bought all the farmland, we're doomed. I'm like, please stop. Like, that is not going to get anyone anywhere. You've given into this division. And why do you think they're able to do that? One, because there's been division. Two, and again, you know, like you said, like we all actually have a lot of the similar beliefs. And there's going to be people where like, you know, they're just very stubborn about their opinion, whatever. Hey, you know what? That's fine. If that's serving you, then whatever. But we've also been taught to believe that money is the root of all evil. Well, guess who told us that? Who programs all of our music and our movies and our TV shows and who rewrites quotes and changes things and all of that. Like, there's so much good that we could do with it. Like, what does money do? It puts a roof over your head. It feeds my kids. It, like, allows us to go travel and see the world. Like, again, same thing. Do I wish that we had more of a barter system and we had a more traditional way about things? Absolutely. Of course. Like, I would love to go back to that, but that's a lot that you got to get everybody on board with that. So the first step towards that is to go, okay, money is just energy. It's a piece of paper. It's a plastic card or a figment of our imagination that has some sort of value on it. But that is what we need currently in this society to be able to come together, put our division aside, and realize, like, you know, people will go like, oh, we're in this spiritual war and we're in this, you know, da, da, da. Like, it's not a war against vegans and it's a war against the, I don't want to say it's a war against, but I mean, like think of it as a movie, right? Like, you're watching a movie and you have these, like, kind of conflicting crowds, right? But then, like, the big enemy comes. What do? They go, all right, guys, forget our differences. Let's band together and, like, take this thing on. That's the only way we can do that. But we have to start viewing it like that and realize we're already in that. It's already there. Like, we have to do that now. You don't want to wait till, like, crap hits the fan to really, like, start doing this. Like, there's something we can do about it now. And I fully believe that. And I just don't want to hear any of, like, the negative talk about all of that. I'm like, stop manifesting that. Like, don't put your energy towards that. Don't make that your mindset or your belief system. Like, we can do something about this. And a lot of us are. Like, there are so many more people now that are in various movements similar to this.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's like a growing trend right now. Even in the carnivore community, you know, there's, I really think the carnivore community has brought a lot of light to it, actually, because they're all supporting local ranchers. They're buying literally whole cows, half cows from local ranchers. And, you know, and then they post about it. I know that's something that I've done. Like, every time I go to my rancher, I'll take a picture with him, or I'll take a picture of all my meat, you know, and I'm a really big proponent of supporting local. And that is because I used to also be vegetarian, and I was vegetarian because I cared about the animals, and I was against confined animal feedlots and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just so funny how I ended up going to carnivore for health reasons, but I ended up staying for the health benefits, but also because when you support local and the majority of the food you're eating is beef, you are going to cause less death versus getting conventional produce at the grocery store, or even organic produce at the grocery store, because monocropping is a thing that kills hundreds, if not thousands, of critters. That, you know, when you realize that, and that's something I've unfortunately had arguments with vegans and vegetarians on my carnivore page when I first started. And I'm like, you're literally killing hundreds of animals just by consuming almonds, and you're like, you're killing bees by drinking almond milk, and like all this stuff. And, you know, and it's something they either just don't want to believe it, or they'll say, oh, well, you have to chew. And I've had this argument made to me more than once from a vegan or vegetarian, and they say, oh, you have to choose which life you want to die. And I'm like, what? You would rather have hundreds of tiny little animals die versus one large cow that is literally made to be meat. Yeah. Like, that makes no sense. And so I quickly learned that it's a waste of time arguing with them. So I just started trolling them back, and I would just be like, thank you, have a great day. Or, you know, just say something nice to
that's
them.
That's my thing. I go into like comedian mode, and I'm like, don't heckle the comedian. I'll come back at you. Like, not in a mean way, but just like, you know, like something funny or clever. Like you said, it's like not even mean in nature. I'm just like, oh, well, you have fun with that. You know, have a great day. And that's like, you know, they're like it's like bullies in school when people bullied you and you were just like, oh, that's nice. You know, it's like if they can't get a rise out of you, then, you know, that's their angle. And anyway, no, you are so fun to talk to because like you are on it. Like, I'm like, she doesn't skip a beat, man. She gets it. Like just like what you said earlier, like, I don't even have to talk about that. Cause like the whole, I was going to bring that up, like that. Yeah. Like there's so much more death that happens when you're like monocropping. It is wild. And that's part of the problem with everything else. Like, why are crops don't even have as much nutrients as they used to, because they're not cycling. They're not rotating their crops. They're not, you know, companion planting. They're not doing it right, like really at all. And it's just wild. And like, you know, that goes into the whole, you know, warming of things too. And they want to say like, and I'm like, oh, please, like, let's be real. Right. And I do think that the vegan, I'm trying to be careful, like, cause I know there's certain like words that, you know, channels don't like, but like the, like, you know, platforms don't like, but you know, the warming of things and, you know, the vegan, like, it's like, there is heart there. Like, I get they're trying to do the right thing. And I completely agree with you that the carnivore community has shed so much light on that. And I had a few raw vegan friends that came to me over the last couple of years, like two or three, like really solid stories where they were like, I'm doing this, I'm doing the superfoods, I don't eat any processed, I da 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 da, all the things. And they're like, I'm so sick. I'm still like, and I'm like, they're like, what, how did you do it? What did you do? And I'm like, I went paleo. Like, I went more carnivore, you know, like I'm just that's what helped. And they're like, no way, you know, and there was resistance, but they're like, all right, I'm willing to try it. Just like you said, like you went into it for health reasons. It was the same for me. And I, you know, my acupuncturist, she's like, you need cooked stews. She's like, you need bone broth. You need beef. Like, you need red meat. She's like, you need it to be red in the middle. Like, you like raw as possible if you can. And even my Ayurvedic physician, he was a third generation Ayurvedic physician. And they are vegetarians by nature, right? And he was like, you're one of the few people I'm going to recommend eats meat. And he's like, obviously, just religion wise, he's like, it's hard for me to recommend cow for you because that is a sacred animal to them, right? But he was like, but, you know, I understand that's not the same for you. So if you partake in that, then it's not, you know, crossing any boundaries or whatever. But he was like, you know, like lamb and all this other thing. And like, I ended up loving lamb. I mean, I had to get past that too a little bit because I was like, oh no, you know, but my body thrived on it. And it really did. Like then I went back to having one cycle a month and it wasn't crazy heavy and it wasn't all this, I didn't feel like literally like I got hit by a bus or something while I was on my cycle, like everything regulated. So I do think that we go through these things, and I would encourage everyone to realize that certain things are meant to be a chapter in our life. And even though I found so much education and interest and certain things about, you know, superfoods and all that during that journey, like we have to stay open-minded and realize that like we're always shifting and we're always going through, you know, just a season, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, and it's like how I've always been, I've always just tested stuff on myself instead of like going to a doctor and getting tested and all this stuff. And, you know, and I highly encourage that for everybody. Like, that's the best way you're going to learn if something works for you, especially with the foods. I always recommend on my show for people, if they do want to, I would recommend to try carnivore for 30 days, just kind of as an elimination diet / reset. You know, it's not a forever thing, just kind of like a good reset to your body. And then you can start reintroducing foods and see how your body reacts. And I recommend that all the time, but testing on yourself is the best way you're going to learn what's best for your body, because everybody is different. Everybody's got different backgrounds and different environments, even, you know, like the whole mold thing, or, you know, there's all kinds of things that go into everything.
Have you seen that show? I forget what it's called. I watched one episode of it and I was like, I get the point. You know, it's like, where they took twins and they were like, okay, this one's going to eat vegan and this one's going to eat carnivore, but they painted it. Like, it was
I heard about it, but I never watched it. I imagine that they would paint it to the plant-based side.
Yeah, it was very agenda. Yeah. And what was interesting to me was like, okay, like, I do like that they used identical twins, right? Like, that's a good foundational, you know, comparison there, but they weren't looking at the actual foods they were using. The carnivores were not necessarily eating like clean meats, you know? And that's the other thing. Like if you go carnivore for 30 days, it's not like, oh, you know, go to Wendy's and, or, you know, Burger King and get a Big Mac for, you know, it's like actually research into it to make sure it's clean meat. And like you're saying, like local ranchers and all of that, like that's, we still want to stay away from the toxic side of it. And like, they didn't look at that at all. They didn't look at like, oh, the non-plant-based twin, they weren't necessarily eating clean stuff. It had a lot of MSG and all this other stuff that they weren't factoring into it. So yeah, like if you're eating McDonald's and you're eating like superfood smoothies, of course this one's going to have a little more energy and they're going to feel, you know, they're probably going to lose some right. weight. It's like, it felt rigged.
Oh yeah. I'm sure it was. That's probably why I didn't watch it. Cause I know all that stuff. It's like, it's just a setup to be against eating meat. And so, but you know, and I'm sure there's lots of other factors too. Cause with carnivore, like you have to make sure you eat enough and you have to make sure you supplement with electrolytes. And, you know, and if you do have some certain health issues, then you might need like a coach or an assistant to help guide you, because there are different ratios of like how much fat and protein and how often you should eat every day. And then also like there's eating with your cycle for a woman, you know, there's certain times of the month where you should eat more than the rest of the month. So, you know, like how you're saying, like the variables are so important. And that's something that I always ask too, like with the studies, it's like, oh, this study said this and this. It's like, okay, but who did they study? Like, did they study just people that ate standard American diets, or did they study people that ate low carb diets or whole foods? You know, it's like, there's so many variables. And even if the study is in your favor, like you still have to ask that question because you don't know the variables. Everybody is different.
Oh, it's so true. And that's the funny thing, because, you know, you know, like having platforms and stuff, you get people like, oh, where's the research? Where's the study? And I'm like, first of all, you could go find it too. You're capable, right? Like Mr. Smarty Pants, like you can, you know, right? You got something to say. That's cool. You can say it, but like, you can also go research it yourself. If I can find it, you can find it. And then also, if I give it to you, are you actually going to look at it? Also, there's that factor of like, some of these studies are not necessarily, you know, looking at every variable or all factors. And I would love to do that. I mean, it's probably wouldn't be tenured, but you know, they pay a lot of for a lot of that stuff. But that's interesting to me. I would love to talk to you more about that, like, you know, like the ratio of fat to protein and all that. Like, that's a new thing, because like I've gone down like the paleo road, but I'm just now starting to get more into like the carnivore road. And my best friend is too. She has been doing this nutrition course, and I was curious where it was going to go, because it was like an out-of-pocket thing. She's going to actually have like her full nutrition certification, like not certification. She'll actually be like a nutritionist, you know, like she's actually getting the actual like board, state board, all that. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's not just like a certificate, but I was like, all right, I'm curious where this is going to go. And she is going through her transition of being vegetarian. So now she's like, Heidi, I'm all about this all carnivore thing. And, you know, cause she's had some mystery illnesses, and she's like, this is the only thing that's actually helping me. And I'm like, I know, it's amazing. And one thing that's funny, I have another good friend who, he's the first person who really introduced me to the idea or the concept of a full carnivore diet. And I mean, he was just meat, eggs, and like, you know, like the good fats and all of that. You know, I don't remember what else he had. He would make coffee. And he was like, I just put tallow and eggs in it. I think that was it. And he would whip it up. And he's like, that's all I eat. I don't need anything else. But he did go through this one, I think butter. I think he did like grass-fed butter and ghee too. Or he kind of fluctuated in and out of that maybe. But I remember at one point he was like, have you heard of the croissant diet? Have you heard of this? Okay. I was like, what? I'm like, he's got to be pulling my leg. And I think it was a temporary thing. He was like, oh, never mind, I'm going back to carnivore. But he was like, he experiments on himself like we do. Yeah. Right? And it's the best way to learn. And I tell people that all the time, you know, if something didn't work for them, I'm like, well, your body's different. Like, everybody's different. But he said there was this thing called the croissant diet. And he's like, there is some truth to it, but it was like, because it was just like, the good fats of like
all butter, like
yeah, whole real butter, and something about the way that, but I was like, all right, but you have to be careful with that, because you're talking about like genetically modified wheat is, you know, all this
and they don't always use real butter.
Right, right. And he was like, well, yeah, I mean, you got to make them whole. And I'm like, I don't, it was like this goofy thing. I was like, that's got to be a joke. But, and maybe it was. He's so dry. He could have been messing with me the whole time and just to see how I'd respond. But he's like an older guy too, you know, like he's like, you know, so it was just funny. Like, I'm like, wait, what? There's like Facebook group on it too. I was like, what?
Oh my gosh. I'm not surprised. But yeah, we can definitely do another episode talking more about carnivore. I used to do carnivore coaching. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Sean Baker.
I've heard that name a little bit just out there, but I've never actually researched into him.
So he's like one of the big doctors in the carnivore community, and he kind of spearheaded and popularized it. He's been on Joe Rogan's show a few times.
That might have been where I've seen. I feel like I've seen like clips of him or something.
Okay, yeah. He's always doing like funny videos, like side-by-side videos of like a vegan like making something, and he's just like sitting there eating a steak, just like watching the video.
Do you follow Carnivorealis on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you seen, he's got that one video pinned where he's got like the, you know, like the cast iron skillet with just like some steak in it and it's steaming and he's walking around the house and he's like, I gotta sage my house after my
I've seen him. I haven't seen that one, but I've seen him where he like carries the raw steak like around the house, like I'm staking the house. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to learn more from you on it, because that's a new, like you said, the ratios and like how many times a day to eat it and all of that. Because I mean, you know, when you think of like even our animals, right? Like they're not eating biologically correct kibble. Have you seen that? There's another documentary called Pet Fooled. It's like pet food, but they added the L-E, so it's Pet Fooled. Oh. And it's so bad. Like, it, and like, so like our animals need to be eating more, like dogs and cats, like they should be eating more. Like, and I got to the point where I was like feeding my cats raw chicken. They love it. You know?
Oh yeah. My cats love raw chicken. I'll literally just get like the natural ground chicken from the grocery store and
they just eat it.
They just love it.
Yeah. We had one cat who he would pick it up. Like he always picked up his food and he'd pick it up. He'd fling it across the house. And I was like, no, don't throw the raw chicken everywhere. I'm like, just eat it.
No, the cat that you saw earlier, she loves to play with the raw food. Like they like raw chicken and raw beef, and she like tries to kill it, and it's already, I'm like, it's already dead, like stop. Like, and she's like wrestling it and like tossing it like across the house and like running over there to get it. That's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's one thing that it's like kind of tricky with the cats.
Well, and it's funny because like you look at turn around like cat food and it's got like blueberries and all this stuff. And I'm like, would they eat that in nature though? I mean, maybe if they had nothing else and they needed to, like it's not going to hurt them, but that's not what their go-to thing would be. And then just
right.
So processed, you know, it's.
Yeah. And then like the cheap kibble, it's literally meat scraped from the ground. Like it's literally floor meat scraps.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, that's what video is like, they just show you like, they just expose that whole industry. And there's like a bunch of holistic vets that are like talking about, you know, they're like, yeah, just crack a raw egg in there, you know, let it, you know, and they do, they love it. They just, you know, in our, we have a holistic vet that we go to and she's always like, this is what animals' coats are supposed to feel like, you know, like they're supposed to, you know, and all these allergy issues and like all like mm-hmm. our animals, I was about to switch over to do like animal holistic health because I'm just, you know, your dogs and cats should not be having tumors. They should not be having all of these problems that humans have, and humans shouldn't be having those problems. So it's, you know, and like their lifespan, like animals' lifespan doesn't have to be as short as it is, just like ours, you know, like we're cutting off mm-hmm. a good amount of years off of everybody.
Right. And why should we get filtered water and the pets get tap water?
I house sat for a family and their cat at one point, and the poor cat, she wasn't even that old, but she looked like she was like 10 years older than she was. Her fur was just kind of tough and like matted, and like her eye, like she just didn't look healthy. And so they had like a gecko and a cat, and they were like, oh yeah, you know, like here's where her food bowl is. And I'm sure the food wasn't that great either, but they're, you know, and I was, you have to respect other people's ways about things, but they were like, yeah, her food's here. And, you know, we just give her, you know, I was like, oh, do you have a filtered water? I don't see filtered water anywhere. And they're like, oh, we drink bottled water, but like we just give the animals the tap water. And I was like, not while I'm here. Like I'm not gonna change their food on them because I can't control that. But I was like, while I'm here, they're getting like filtered water. Like I'm not
they're getting your fancy microplastic bottled water, okay?
yeah. I think they had like a Brita or something too. I don't
know. Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, at least, exactly. I'm like, well, that's not even any better. I should have just brought my water over in like a thing.
I probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I just can't bring myself to do that.
Well, yeah. And I'm like, you drink, you know, they're like, but they drink it. I'm like, because they have no other option. You're not giving
right.
it to you. If you put tap water in a bowl and you put like a good water and like a bowl next to it, they'll probably go to that. And Mike, I don't know if your cats drink out of the fountain. Like we have one of those.
Oh no, they mine just have a bowl.
My female will drink out of a bowl, but the male, like he will not. Like it has to be running. So I got one of the fountains, and because he would only drink out of like the tap. Like if I'm brushing my teeth or washing dishes, he'd come drink it, and I was like, no, you can't drink that water. So I had to get one of those little filtered, like, you know. And I still put our good water in it, but I.
Mm-hmm.
It cycles it, and you kind of have to like change the filter in it like quickly. It gets a little gross, but it was either that or he was drinking out of the sink. So,
like gross, you mean like slimy kind of?
Slimy.
So I actually, in my bowls for my cats, they used to be like that too. So I recently started putting just a little silver dime in there, and no slime
really?
Whatsoever. Yeah. So because I work for a gold and silver company, so I've started stacking gold and silver. So I was like, I'm just going to put a silver dime in there to, you know, as a natural preservative, and like none whatsoever. I don't I wash the bowl probably like once a week, but I was having to wash it like twice a week before because it was just getting slimy like every other day. And so the silver dime definitely helped with that.
That's awesome. I was going to say you probably put like colloidal silver, like a drop of colloidal silver in there or something, I would guess, right?
Yeah, you could probably do that too. I haven't tried it, but yeah, I know definitely just putting the dime in there has stopped the slime.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that for sure, because that's really neat. We can talk about the gold and silver thing too, like you and I, like that'd be, I'm curious to learn more about that too. Yeah, and fulvic, I give the, like, when you're talking about electrolytes too, that's my go-to electrolyte just because it is like, you know, it's more like, whatever. I mean, I will use other ones sometimes too, but that, I do like the fulvic a lot, and the animals do really well with that too.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I definitely need to get in on that. I've had periods of my life where I've taken it and then I just forget to reorder it. And you know that, I'm sure you know that. And so I need to get some of that. And is it, you have the brand, that you use that you get fulvic?
Yeah. The Zeolite company, we have a fulvic, and that has, and it's nice because like when you're an existing customer, you can get one bottle of it for like $10, like as your first bottle that you buy. So like you can save like 30, $40 like off of a bottle of it, like the first time you buy it. So there's like a, you know, kind of like an intro discount, which is cool. I do have a couple other companies. I'm really picky about fulvic. There is one other company that I would recommend for it. But yeah, I like that, Touchstone is the name of the company with PBX, the zeolite and everything. And they're actually coming out with their own parasite cleanse too, which will be cool. But now I don't have it with me, but I use it's a Chinese medicine company, and it's like pure, powdered herbs that you like make your own decoction tea with it. So you just take the powdered herbs and you pour hot water on it. I looked into, I actually signed up as an affiliate with that,
Global Healing Center.
Yeah. I looked into their stuff, and it's actually really good. I've kind of moved away from capsules, but some people really like capsules. So I like having that as an option too, because not everybody wants to take powder and put it in and like drink, like,
like
that's like another level, you know, but that was what my Ayurvedic physician did. He just like, he would take my pulse and he would sit there. He had like this whole room of just little tubs of different herbs. Mm-hmm. And he would like mix, like, okay, you need two scoops of this, whatever. And each week I would take one of my bags of herbs, and you had to like stir it for like an hour, just like slowly let it, you know, simmer and do all of that. And then you would drink that throughout the week. and it was awesome. Like I felt amazing on it. But so yeah, I do like, I like, you know, the old school way, but yeah, there's a lot that they had some really good stuff. I was impressed, because I'm not easily impressed by supplements. But I was like, all right, let me check this out. I was like, actually, yeah, that, like, I'd carry that for sure.
Yeah, no, the Global Healing Center, I've been getting their stuff, because I'm pretty picky. I'm not as strict as I used to be, but yeah, on certain supplements, like, I prefer, you know, to have the highest quality, and they're pretty clean for the most part, and they have like some sort of special extraction process. That I think it's like patented. I think it's called like a Spagyrex process or something.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
But I've always had really good benefits and I have a good experience with their stuff, but I'm always open to trying new things.
Additives. Like I didn't think it had any mm-hmm. additives, which was mm-hmm. like my first thing I was impressed about. I was like, okay, all right.
yeah. No, the doctor group there, he really cares about it, about having clean ingredients. I think he's a raw vegan or raw fruitarian or something. I don't know if he is now, but when I was first finding out about him, he was like, you know, all and I wasn't super like all about that, but like the products were undeniably like high quality, and that's all I really care about.
It's another part of that synergy. It's like we're mm-hmm. more alike than not alike.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad I met you, because like I'm like, yes, like I felt like I was like, all right, I'm not alone in this, because even sometimes on the carnivore side of things, right, like, you know, like even, you know, like carnivore, yeah, I was mm-hmm. like, all right, you gotta, you know, and like it, but it's more of a joke, like I don't think he's actually,
oh yeah,
it's more just like kind of, you know, ragging on each other and poking fun, like that's fine, that's all fine, that's, I was just talking about that recently, like my best friends, my girls' best friends of 10 years, like since I've known since kindergarten, my parents, like the people that I know that are the closest and the most like they just have a true, genuine love with each other. Like they're able to rag on each other, because you're not holding mm-hmm. back something you might be feeling and going, ooh, don't walk on eggshells and not talk about it. It's like, what are you doing? You know, and then you can laugh and be just like, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, it's just so much easier and it flows better and you're not taking everything personally. Like when I asked my parents, I was like, what's your secret to like your marriage? They were like, you know, we're just real with each other, you know, and we don't take anything personally. We actually appreciate the good things. And that's what I think our society needs to start doing and going like, all right, yeah, you know, we can make the vegan jokes and the carnivore jokes, like, all right, whatever. And like, we see the ironies and we see this and we point it, all right, but like, can we just be cool?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I wish it was more like that too, for sure. And, but I think everybody is working towards like kind of a great awakening and becoming more aware. And hopefully that leads to becoming more self-aware, so you aren't so upset when somebody makes a joke, you know, and,
absolutely.
Yeah. But I want to thank you so much. This was so much fun. I had a feeling it was going to be a really good fun show, and I'm so glad you came on. Could you let people know where they can find you?
Yeah, sure thing. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Detox Dame. I do have two channels on each one, because censorship is real. I have that on my website, right? Like censorship is real. So Detox Dame, the Detox Dame on Instagram. Detox Dame, two different accounts on Facebook. And then I have Heidi Umi Ochisuki on TikTok, and then Detox Dame on TikTok. And then thedetoxdame.com is my website. And that's where you can find anything that we talked about here. I also have a free ebook on there that is over 100-page ebook on, that's like a detox guide. And it goes into like the dieta, like eating aspects, and like really just focused on, you know, like, hey, it's for anybody and everybody. If you are vegan and you're watching, like, cool, like, it, you know, it's just get off the processed foods, and, you know, even like what we put on our skin, how to assist yourself. When we talked about bentonite clay, like there's a whole, you know, clay fulvic, like the detox bath that goes along with it, how to do dry brushing, how to get your lymphatic system moving, getting, you know, rebounding, jump roping, whatever, like, it covers like all different kinds of things. It goes into like all the FAQs on like zeolite and fulvic and different herbs and everything. So, you know, that's free and downloadable and on there too. So.
Awesome. So cool. Thanks again so much for coming on here. We will definitely have to do this again. And before we go, I do want to give a big shout out to my sponsor, Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. If you like what I do here and want to support the show, please go to my link you see down below, yekka.gold. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Awesome. Thanks, Yekka.